a tumultuous time. All that we had assumed would be forever has seemed to fall apart. Started with the environment, El Nino, El Nina, scorching heat, frigidity, rising waters, melting ice caps, ecological disasters, from the BP Gulf oil spill to the Kalamazoo River, Katrina's disappearing shorelines, the deforestation in South America. All that was seems not to be. Some of you may be aware of an author named Anne Rice of Witches and Erotica. She describes herself as a pessimistic atheist. But after 40 years, she returned to the church, wrote a number of novels on faith, including a spiritual confession, and then suddenly she made headlines. She renounced the church. She's not leaving Christ, she said, just Christianity, which she describes as quarrelsome, hostile, disputatious, and a deservedly infamous group. She even quotes Gandhi's famous line, "I like your Christ, I don't like your Christians." That description fits the church in America and the entire culture today. From nasty political scenes to social chaos, the Supremes changed 2,000 years of history by one vote. All that was seems not to be. Is there a word from the Lord for his people today? Who am I? How am I to live? What is our purpose in life? We turn to the word of the Lord. As King David wrote, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke." Now, the kingships of David and Solomon were not historical accidents of human achievement, any more than the fall of evil leaders through the age. Even some folk who wish to exonerate them from their evil deeds, a.k.a. Oliver Stone's Hitler, or the responsibility from the 9/11 Twin Towers, or the denial of the Holocaust. Kingship is a gift of God's sovereign power. And it was the faithfulness of God that made the monarchy possible for David and Solomon. It is the faithfulness of God that makes democracy possible for Americans. In God we trust. When one rules over people in righteousness, when one rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning. Governments are to be just because they are not given the gift of power to exercise that power, but to attend to justice, to use power for the sake of the weak, powerless, afflicted, marginal. Just power is the power for life, not death. Has not God made an everlasting covenant? This is the promise of God. I shall be your God, and you shall be my people. There are three motifs to David's rule: God's sovereign power, God's moral expectations, and God's abiding commitment. Even then, our task aside, the events of these past centuries bring to life the ancient words from David. Mao, Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler, Tojo, Pol Pot, Amin, Saddam, the list goes on and on. In each case, there have been people who were willing to put their lives on the line for a hope of freedom. We have been through Hiroshima, Perestroika, Plasnas, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, now Syria, ISIS. Yet freedom keeps rising from the ashes of despotism through people of faith. The early church took royal theology for an affirmation of Christ. Jesus raised to power rules and justice, bears God's abiding commitment. I will be with you even to the end of the age. Isaiah in his first servant song put it, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, I appoint, I designate, I equip with my spirit. My servant people will bring justice in all the earth." You see, you, my people, have this mission. The blind will be able to see. Their eyes will be turned from idolatry. Those who are imprisoned in life circumstances of health, culture, condition will be released. Those subjected to cruelty, poverty, and enslaved by godless rulers will be released. For I am the Lord. My glory I give to no other. I was serving the Church of the Master in Mishigalo, California, and I received a call from my friend Isaiah Jones. He was a black pastor in L.A. and a songwriter, and he asked if he could get some help in getting his music heard. So I invited him to play in the two services that morning. He sat at the piano, and he played, and he sang, "Fill My Cup." Now, our music director created music for TV shows, and having heard Isaiah in his song, he opened some doors for him. From a record to two stints as the music director of our National Presbyterian Youth Triennium. His hymn is in our Presbyterian hymnal. Fill My Cup. It sounds like this. Namesake, this Isaiah walked the talk. On the other side of Easter, we know that until Jesus Christ is lifted high, until we say or do affirm that Jesus Christ is Lord, until we give God the glory, we will never be whole. We will never be free. For freedom, Judeo-Christians have borne pain and suffering. They are bearing pain and suffering. They're now being used as barter by ISIS. They're on the brink of extinction in the Middle East. But they know that beyond this life, there is an eternal life. Eternal hope enables our cups to overflow with love. Paul uses the illustration of a husband and wife. God created male and female. A man leaves father and mother and is married to wife. Becomes just one person. So what makes a Christian marriage? I believe that answer is wrapped up in a very biblical concept, mutual submission. What a beating it has taken in our post-Christian culture. One after another, celebrities disappoint. Lying and adultery have become acceptable, especially for selfies. It's all about me. Betsy Stevenson of the University of Pennsylvania reported that couples who married in the 70s were the greatest divorce of the generation. For the modern age has been toxic to marriage. Its economic and cultural transformations have changed marriage as an institution. The cult of self-expression, personal autonomy, changed marriage from an enduring covenant to the concept of a contract of unknown duration. This is exactly what Paul dealt with in his letter to the Ephesians. When we become like Jesus, we are no longer lording it over another. Paul calls for mutual submission out of reverence for Christ. Christians are called to lift others up, not promote self. Paul knew God's will for his people, to be set free from the lust for power, the sins that accompany privilege, for there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, all are one in Jesus Christ. But mutual submission means personal sacrifice. A husband tells his bride, I'm going to do everything I can to help you to become all that God wills for you to be. I'm ready to sacrifice everything for you. And the bride then tells her husband, oh no, it's the other way around. And every family needs a leader. No, not what you think. Jesus Christ. Paul uses the marriage to illustrate his point. Husbands, wives, the question is this. How can I help you to become all that God wants you to become? For Christianity, the question is the same. Brother, sister, how can I help you become all that God wants you to become? Pastor Rick Warren suggests, in happy moments, praise God. Difficult moments, seek God. Quiet moments, worship God. Painful moments, trust God. Every moment, thank God. To the analyzers and pessimistic Christian followers, we declare, Almighty God is the Savior of this world. We sing to the Lord our song, to God be the glory. Our sins are forgiven. He lives.